Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Bass University TV. We are live from the 2020 Bassmaster Classic, and we're having a blast. We're learning a lot. We're talking to everybody in the fishing business, the best of the best, teaching us about what they're really good at. And right now, I'm really excited. I've got a Bassmaster Elite Series rookie, Wes Logan. It's great to have you here with us.
I appreciate you having me, Mr. Pete. It's an honor to be on here with you.
Man, it's great to have you. I know one of our guys, Riz, as we know him, Rich Leadbeater, and you and him got together and did some fishing.
Yeah, on the Riz Tour is what we call it.
The Riz Tour. And, you know, so he had a lot of great things to say about it. You got to do, you know, the reason is because Riz has a problem. He's
a couple of them.
Yeah. This particular one is he's addicted to the swim jig. Ooh. And he went out in the boat.
He was probably the bad. That was the worst person to go with me if he's addicted to that, because he probably won't lay it down now.
No. Well, he couldn't lay it down before. I know he's committed. He's over the moon with it. And we're going to be talking about that. You know, swim jig, honestly, to me personally, I've caught a lot of fish with it. But it's underutilized. Like, I don't use it that much, and I want to change that.
Yeah, it is. There's actually, you say swimming a jig, and that really, in different parts of the country, it could mean a different thing. Like, down in Florida, it's a bunch of just casting and winding. You get into Alabama and Georgia and Mississippi, and you've got the Alabama shake, they call it. And really, I mean, you go up north, those fish kind of just bite it. If you just reel it by them, you really don't have to put a lot of action into it. But so swim jig fishing kind of determines where you're at in the country as to what it means when you say you're throwing a swim jig.
Well, we're going to dive into that. And right now I'm going to ask Andy to lower my headphones a little bit, because I got my volume up there super high. But you won a BFL at 17 years old.
I did. I won a BFL when I was 17. And actually, I won another BFL the next year. So I was 17 and 18. I won two back-to-back. And they were both at Neely Henry. So, I mean, and that's my home lake. But FLW was fortunate enough to let me fish as a co-angler at 17. With my parents had to sign off. And
wow,
I ended up winning it. I only won. I had 15-something. And I really didn't think I was going to win that tournament. But then the following year, I had a blessed day and really called him. And it wasn't even close the second time.
And both on swim jigs?
No, it was on a jig, but I was actually flipping a jig in that tournament. It was a lot later in the year, and they kind of get off the swim jig. That our area of the country right there in the Coosa River gets a lot of swim jig pressure. And after the spawn, you know, the springtime, the summer, it kind of – they'll still come up on it, and you'll get some bites, but they get real timid and don't want to commit to it.
How did you make that transition from being in the back of the boat to being an Elite Series Tour guy?
I've actually never – fished as a co-angler. Everything I've won has been out of the front of the boat. I've never fished as a co-angler. Not I love co-anglers. I'm not knocking it by any means.
No.
It was hard for me to want to get behind somebody, especially fishing around local where I knew so much. Just being in the back of somebody's boat, I felt like it was going to hinder me. So the first opportunity I had, I wanted to be in the front of the boat. And I was fortunate enough, my dad had a boat that I was able to use. And I know a lot of kids don't have that opportunity, so I was real blessed when it comes to that.
Well, that's great. I mean, I thought that's what you said. And I thought you said that you were fishing out of the back of the boat. But you started in the front. You won those two BFLs. What next?
When I won the second BFL, I had just graduated high school, and I was at Gadsden State going to college for a heat and air degree. And they had a college fishing team, but I decided to go the other route. I wanted to fish. If I was going to spend my money, I thought I'm going to go fish for money in return. So I fished all the BFLs locally, and once I fished that for, I think I fished them for 2 years and did really well. I decided to make the jump to the Costa Series, which it was the Costa Series then, and the Open Series, and it's all history from there.
How long did it take you to qualify?
The first year of my Coastas, I fished the Coastas and the Opens in the same year, and I think I finished 10th in the Opens, and I finished 7th, that's in the points, and 7th in the points in the Costa, and that qualified me to fish the tour, the FLW Tour. So I went and fished the FLW Tour in 2018. That was my rookie year. I almost won the Cup. I kind of messed it up the last day. I was leading going into the final day on that. And then last year was my second year on tour, and I fished the Opens again, which was just the second time to fish them. And I was fortunate enough to win the points in the Central Division, and I decided to make the move to the Elite Series.
Wow. So how you enjoying it so far?
I've been really blessed. I mean, I love where I'm at. Bass is doing a great job with us anglers promoting, and I couldn't be in a better place, I don't think, and I'm happy where I'm at.
Well, that's great. We're all going to be rooting for you for the rest of the season.
It.
And we'll talk about that a little bit. But we're going to talk about throwing a swim jig. Like I said, it's an underutilized technique, and or at least for me it is. You know, maybe down in this part of the country it's not. But let's talk a little bit about you know, the seasonal patterns. When do you go for this technique? I mean, is it this time of year, or is it got to be a little warmer? When are you doing that?
I really try and make it a year. I mean, normally even anywhere in the country I go, I'm gonna have it tied on. I'm gonna try and get a couple bites on it, try and make it work. But I've caught fish in water temperature from, I think the coldest I've ever caught them is in like 42 to 44, all the way up to 85, 90 degrees, which it'll get down like that down here in the summertime. But it just, the main thing I've seen was, as far as water temperature and time of year, it just depends on your retrieve, the trailer you use, and what kind of mood the fish are in. Obviously, if you got 42, 45 degree water, they're not going to be very active. And the warmer the water gets, the fish are going to get more active, and you got to change your trailers up. There's a lot that goes into it, but I know we're going to get into that detail here.
What kind of jig are you throwing?
I throw a Dirty Jigs, no jack swim jig, 5/16 ounce, 90% of the time, because I mean, when they bite it, I got 50-pound sunline braid and I'm cracking them. I mean, most of the time, there is some instances, like if you're on a clear body reservoir like Lanier or Smith, swimming a jig around docks for those spotted bass, I'll throw 20-pound fluorocarbon with just the regular swim jig, because it doesn't have that real beefy hook, because you're probably not going to catch a 7 or 8 pounder on Smith Lake or Lanier or something. Mm-hmm. So you don't want that big hook tearing into those fish. And that's another thing people don't know a lot about. You don't always have to have that big gaff hook to catch them, because a lot of times if you're catching 2 to 3 pounders, it's ripping a big hole. And I mean, that's another chance for the fish to get off. So that's another thing people need to learn about swim jigs.
So you have a standard swim jig with a lighter wire hook when you're using fluorocarbon and, you know, fishing clear water, smaller size fish.
But I will say, most of the time I am throwing a 5/16. It's a in between weight of a quarter and a 3/8. Most people throw a 3/8. I'm just a 5/16.
And you like fishing it most of the time on braid.
Yeah. No,
I mean, a big hook.
As many chances as I can get
stick.
To throw it on braid. I don't swim it on a big rod. I throw it on a 7/6 medium heavy. And it's the rod I throw is an Art Rod reinforcer. It's a 7/6 heavy or medium heavy, and it's got a big parabolic bend to it, so it lets them fish get it. And I jerk so hard, I get so excited, I guess, that it doesn't make the fish fly out of the water every time I get a bite.
I saw some of that.
Yeah, there's some small ones. If they get it and I'm not paying attention, I'll jerk a little hard, and they'll be flying fish for a minute.
Well, I saw you and Riz fishing some emergent vegetation. I don't even know what kind it is. What are you throwing? What's your preferred habitat to be throwing?
I like bank grass. I don't know the correct term for it. Water willow, gator grass. Around the Coosa River, I think it is water willow. And then you get around to like Eufaula and Seminole and some of the northern Florida lakes, you have that gator grass. Even at Gunnersville, they have it on the bank. You know, it's real viney. It's got the small green leaves. That's my prime. If I see that, I'm going to try and get on a swim jig bite. Real shallow docks, even shallow floating docks. They don't have to be pole docks. Those big ones will get early springtime. You can swim some really big fish up on some clear body reservoirs like a Smith Lake deal on the shallowest dock you can find, because when them floats will heat up and those fish will get right up against them and be high in the water column. And if you go by there flipping or throwing a crankbait something, you may not even be in the right water column, and you happen to swim a jig by up there on the top of the right beside that dock, and you might be surprised.
Well, what kind of trailer are you using?
Most of the time I'm throwing a Zoom, just a speed crawl. Mm-hmm. It's the crawl with the bigger pinchers. If I get into a situation I think the fish are, like, just getting my pinchers, I'll go to a speed crawl. You know, it has the smaller – it's a smaller profile. And then if you're in, like, a Florida situation where you're just chunking and winding a little bit deeper, just a Zoom Z Swimmer, it's just a paddle tail swim bait. And that's really the three trailers I use. There's certain occasions where I'll swim a Zoom Super Chunk, and I just hook it on there. I don't thread it on there. It makes a real big profile, but the jig kind of – it just floats around, and those lethargic fish, they'll just come up there and kind of suck it in every now and then.
Are you – like – well, for me, swim jigs are somewhat like a swim bait, and the hook sets are key. And are you setting on the strike? Are you hesitating? What – How do you handle that?
And there's certain – I've actually figured out on certain lakes there's fish that when you – if I'm swimming it up like I do most of the time, if I – as soon as I see the fish, there's certain lakes you better jerk because he's got it. Like, for instance, I've caught him at Santee Cooper and Seminole and Eufaula, and those fish are so aggressive that I don't know what it is. But, I mean, if you see him open his mouth, he's already got it. But there's certain instances, like the Coosa River, when they get real pressured, some of them will just come up there and kind of nip at it and just kind of mouth it a little bit. And you want to, I mean, you'll jerk. If you see them, you're not going to catch 90% of them. I mean, right. A lot of them you got to check and make sure they're running with it. But I'm not a big guy. Like, if you get a frog bite, he eats it, you kind of let him run with it. I mean, I'll check him for half a second.
Right.
But it's not, I don't let him go a long time.
I got you. Just a light hesitation.
Yeah. Just a split second. Like, all right.
You talk about fishing it up.
Yeah.
You're fishing super high in the water column.
Yeah, I mean, within six. I like seeing my jig most of the time.
John Cox said he did an on-water swim jig, and he said the same thing.
Yeah.
He sees all the strikes.
Yeah,
he fishes
always.
That jig in high in the water column.
I do not like – if I've got a crawl trailer on there and I'm swimming it like I do around here or most anywhere I try and do, it bothers me when I can't see my jig. Even like a light glare, like I'll still have the jig up, but if I've got the sun wrong, I'll fish a bank backwards just to be able to see how my jig's working, because I want the jig doing certain things when it gets to a certain piece of cover. Like if I get to a point, I want to know that I flutter the jig and the trailer does what it's supposed to.
Right.
So I'm real particular when it comes to that, seeing my jig, but yeah, you see probably 95-98% of the bites.
That makes it a fun way
that
to
makes
fish.
It addicting.
Well, you know, you're fishing it high. In order to keep it high, you got to be reeling that thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually only swim it on – I use a Lose, the new Pro TI. It's a 7.5-1. But what helps me keep it up to keep my arm and my wrist from dying reeling is the 7.6 rod. That's why I use the longer rod, and I normally swim with my rod up, so that's giving me a couple extra inches to just keep that rod – or the jig up, and makes me not have to reel and burn my forearms up all day.
Yeah, that's amazing. Speed, you get to see the strike. Yeah. That's a fun way to fish. I have this written in my notes, there's a couple different ways to fish it.
Mm-hmm.
There's the straight retrieve.
Right.
And then there's the shake.
Yep.
Which one do you use, or do you switch it up?
Like I said earlier in the thing, it really depends on where you're at in the country. I tell you what, I have beat my head against the wall in Florida trying to get those fish to come up on, like, when I'm shaking it and just working it, pumping it. I don't know what it is. You'll get like one bite every 3 hours. You'll do it so long and you'll get one bite and you're like, all right, they're about to start and get on it. And it'll burn you to where if you just put a swim bait, the Zoom Z Swimmer on there, it's like a 3.8 inch. You just throw it by a clump of reeds and just reel it by it like a spinner bait and it'll just go boom and he's got it. I mean, but if you were to just work it by there fast, I don't know what it is, but they just don't want it that way.
Right.
And I don't know if it's that Florida strain. I don't know if they're not looking up. I say that a lot when I'm fishing because I'm within fishing 2 hours of swimming a jig, you know, pumping it, shaking it. If you hadn't had a bite, it's probably not good. They let you know pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they come up on it and just, you know, mouth it or something, you know that they're looking up. If you hadn't had a bite in an hour or two, you better slow down and start pitching something. Because if you know the fish are there, if it comes by his face, he's going to do something. He's going to blow up on it. He's going to eat it. Just move it out of his way. He's going to do something. So if you know the fish are there and you hadn't had a bite yet, doing it in an hour or two, you probably need to slow down a little bit.
What about rattles? This is also a mixed thing. Some guys are rattles, some
he's
guys
digging,
are no
he's
rattles.
He's digging deep now, digging deep. I'm a rattle guy in the dirtier water, water. Even cold water, I feel like the more water you can move, the more disturbance you can make in that dirtier water. You don't have to – you can cover more water because the dirtier the water gets, like if I've got a grass clump the size of a TV tray – and the water's, you can see 6 inches, I'm going to swim the right side of it, I'm going to throw over the top of it, and I'm going to throw to the left side of it. Because if he can't see 6 inches and you swim by his tail, I mean, he's not going to bite it. So you got to, the dirtier the water gets, you got to cover tighter spaces, and that's why I like the rattle, because if you happen to miss him by a foot, he may still hear the rattle, feel the rattle, and you might get an extra bite or two.
Gotcha.
But the more pressure the fish gets and the more people are swimming the jig, I go away
like
from the rattle.
Like it's silent.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that goes with a lot of baits.
Yep. Well, Riz told me you like to fish in the mud. Do you seek it out on bodies of water? You got to just find the dirtiest water, and that's where you like to go?
I try to, and I guess that's just from growing up on the river, being a Coosa River rat. I'm comfortable in dirty water. I feel like I can get a few more bites. It becomes more of a they don't feed by sight in that water. It's more of a feel. And I feel like the dirtier the water gets, they've got to get on something.
Yeah.
It's like I told Riz when we were fishing, he asked me, he said, what's the deal with the dirty water? I said, well, just imagine you're in a dark, you turn the lights out in a room. You don't know where you're at. You don't know where anything is. Well, the first thing you're going to do, you're going to go to something you can touch to get your bearings about yourself, whether it be a wall, a chair, a bedpost. And then fish are the same way. They can't see. You've got muddy water all around you, so it's basically dark to them. They're wanting to get on something just so they're not out there in the abyss just floating around.
Right.
And then so if you got muddy water and you got a fish on a stick and you got a stick up there on the bank, well, that's where he's going to be. So it just makes it easier for you, a more higher percentage bite.
Yep. And I feel like, honestly, you can get closer to the fish a lot of times.
You can.
Things make it a little bit easier.
Yeah. Yeah. You can afford to be not as cautious sometimes. But it all depends on the fishery. You get on a fishery that gets beat up a lot, you've still got to be quiet. I still try and be as quiet as I can, but it does help you out a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you, from what I understand, and you can tell me because I was wrong about the co-owning thing, you live next to Scott Canterbury.
Yeah, we used to live like 5 minutes from each other, then he built a house, so now we're like 15 minutes.
Oh, now he's big time.
Yeah.
He's big time, and you're building a new house. He's got his AOI trophy.
Oh,
he's
got
to get a new home for it.
For sure. He got a big old trophy case made for it, so it's pretty neat. I'm
That's
tickled
awesome.
To death for him. I grew up – he's older than me, so I'm only 25, so I've actually grown up watching him fish professionally, and he deserves it more than anybody. I mean, he's helped me out a lot, not even fishing-wise, just – as far as the whole industry goes, I mean, he's been a real mentor to me, and I can't thank him enough.
Oh, that's great. He's been helped. Do you get to fish with him?
We fish a little bit. We actually got to fish a couple team tournaments last year, and I think we almost got run off. But I would call the tournament director. I was like, can me and my buddy fish? And they're like, well, who's your buddy? I said, well, Scott Canterbury. They're like, yeah, y'all come on. We'll love to have you. And then by the end of weighing, they're like, yeah, y'all can't come back.
Yeah.
But, no, it's always a good time with Scott. He's an awesome guy. He's a heck of an angler. I mean, just unreal.
Amazing year he had last year. It seemed like he was always on the, you know, bubble on whether he was going to hold that lead. And he would just find a way every day.
What impresses me about him, and we room together, so I see how I get to talk to him, see how his mind works. Is like yesterday, even I think at 1 o'clock, he hadn't had a bite.
Yeah.
And then somehow he figures out how to scrap out 14 pounds. I'm not sure how he's doing today. I know he was struggling again this morning. But the way he stays in it, stays positive, and he just trusts his decision-making. That's what I'm really trying to figure out is I haven't made it where I'll just drop everything and run 50 miles and just start over. Where he's done that, and he's always been a gambler like that, and it paid off for him last year because there was a bunch of times where he wasn't even going to make the cut. And he makes a move with 2 hours left and catches enough and makes the cut, then able to get in the top 10. So he's a heck of an angler, and I'm really proud for him.
Well, it was a great year,
yeah.
And you're off to a flying start in this sport. And, you know, we wish you the best. I appreciate you taking some time and talking to us about swim jig.
Yes, sir. I'm real particular on my swim jig stuff. I don't give out a lot of secrets, but it's just the way I like to fish. Now, it's burned me some. But if you can ever get on the bite and have some confidence in it, you can catch some really big fish doing it.
Well, you heard it right here. Thank you so much for
Mr.
taking
Peter.
The time. Wish
I
you the best. We're going to be watching rest of the season, and we're going to be back with a lot more here at Bass University TV from the 2020 Bassmaster Classic.